Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. I have with someone I have the utmost respect for. I've known him for years. And some people would refer to him as a politician. I won't do that. I refer to him for, God knows, 30, 40 years as a public servant. And his name is John Barrett. He represents Northern Berkshire, and he does it very well. He was the mayor of North Adams when they named the city. John Adams was there. So that's how long he was mayor. And but how are you, Rep?
I'm doing good, busy. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things going on. You know, they a lot of people think that the most important things happen in Boston, but let me tell you, it's in the district, and I've got 13 of those communities, and you know, each one we try to deal with problems with, and of course, individuals are having problems in this time, and a lot of people are concerned about the uncertainty of what is happening in Washington and the impact it's going to have on everybody. So it's been a very, very busy time. It really has. Put it this way, it's as time consuming as when I was mayor. Not as tough. But it's time consuming.
Well, I will say this is a compliment to you. I've been interviewing Representative Barrett, God, I don't know, 10, 20 years now. I will say this much. He has been a champion for utility costs and blah, 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 blah. Well, now, guess what? Others are jumping on the bandwagon. They're finally realizing we're getting ripped off. And yes, it's been a hard winter, and I'm sure everybody's heating bills are higher than normal and electric and all that. But even still, the governor now has asked, I believe, Director of Public Works, is it?
DPU.
To intervene and start intervening with the companies.
Well, let me just address that. You know, the fun part of it is that we started, and I started raising hell about it, I think in the fall of 2023. And we had DPU up here and had a hearing in Pittsfield, and really it was a good hearing. And for the first time, they heard some of the things that we were saying and concerns about it. And one of the big complaints was that, listen, you can't set a tax or a tax rate, a utility rate in September. There's going to let it last for basically 8-9 months without any review of it. And said that it doesn't make any sense. Last year, it would have worked out great because they would have reduced the rates actually in January and February and March. If they could do that, you can do it with a gas company, but you can't do it with the with electric rates. And so whatever rate they were allowed to set back in September of 22 or 23, whenever the heck it was, they have now since changed it last year, and they can review the rates midway through. In other words, they set the rate in September based upon what the utility companies give them for information and so on and so forth. Now they can go back and revisit it. The only problem is it doesn't go into effect until this coming September. So they had to wait a year on it, but it hopefully will make a change. Also, the gas prices last year, if people remember, they lowered the rates actually midway through. Because it was a more milder winter. So didn't raise them at any time, which was good. However, that being said, I think it's great the governor is getting involved in it, but the legislature started to send out letters 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now everybody's sending out letters asking the governor, the attorney general, and the DPU, and Quasimodo and his bell ringer. But I think we got some good things done at people, easier for them to join an aggregation system. Yeah. The other area, however, I'm going to look at is MassSave. You see, what has happened too is that MassSave no longer will give rebates for gas because legislative action. I have to take blame for that, I guess, but and also for increasing gas lines within a community. So that causes people being pushed over to, what they call heat pumps now,
Yeah.
electrical and things like that, which was always the goal and objection, or not objective, was the objective to get it done,
Right.
to clean up the environment. I don't think anyone and deal with climate change and everything else. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But it's how they went about it, I think, that bothers me more than anything. There has to be more oversight of the MassSave program. The prices that are being charged for heat pumps, insulation, and all that, yeah, it's nice, and MassSave picks up the most of it. But MassSave is not being funded by the utility companies. They're running it. It's being funded by us, the ratepayers. So
Yeah.
when people see things go up on their bill, guess what? It's because of that. When they see things for the electric companies put in charging stations, for instance, here, there, and everywhere, well, we end up paying for it. Well, now the chicken has come home to roost on this stuff. And, I can remember fighting them 30 years ago. The only difference was it used to be oil used to be the big thing. Oil fuel charge
Yeah.
was on bills. And it's driving people nuts. But I can remember that in Pittsfield when we had the hearing. I says, listen, you've got to understand, this is not just the problem you're looking at. It's how the consumer and how the businesses are going to be able to pay for all of this.
That's right.
And I can remember even when they just passed the utility bill, I believe in fall of this year, I stood up in the caucus and I says, the people in my district want to know, all these charges and how they're going in, and we've got to start to cut back a little bit, and something's got to be fixed, because I'll tell you, there is a real serious problem. Our grid can't handle it,
That's
and we have the
exactly right.
second highest rate of electrical charges of any place in the country,
Wow.
and it's getting that, I forgot which state blocked it, but getting some gas or fuel line
Yeah.
down in from Canada, and bad chance of that now, but one of the states blocked it. I don't know if it was New Hampshire, Vermont, could have been Maine, one of the three blocked it coming down, and
Yeah.
so that's puts us in a very precarious position, and right now, so there's a lot of problems that just have not been addressed. I learned in an administration course a long, long time ago in college, when you make a decision,
Right.
try to understand what the outcome of your decision is going to be. And I just think it's, bad planning. And of course, so nearly 30 years ago, there was a deregulation of the electric rates and things like that. And so that's the way it stands now. But some of them are just crazy. And what really burns me up more than anything else, when we had that, when they look at rates, they don't look at how much the company is making for
Right.
money. They're not, they're, they just pass it on to the consumer. Everything's passed on to the consumer, and then they're allowed to make so much, basically, in very simple layman terms. But what has happened is now that the consumer, as I keep repeating, is paying it now, and but they don't. But DPU sits there.
Yeah.
I think the hearing lasts no more than 3 days, and this and that. They don't do the deep dive into it. Do they look at the corporate salaries that are being paid? Are they looking at all types of things that the company should be doing to
Yeah.
run like a business? But you know what? They say there's no incentive for us because you've deregulated Massachusetts. So by deregulation, these are things that we're locked into what we can do. So they go to the DPU. DPU gives them things. It was very difficult in the for the last 8 to 10 years
Yeah.
of the costs and how they've skyrocketed. So I've just tried to bring it to the forefront.
Well, you've been
I'm
a champion of it. That and Spectrum, I mean,
Well, and with the Spectrum, I just don't have the juice in the position that I'm holding now to do
yeah.
anything about Spectrum except bring it to the attention of the local officials who
Yeah.
control it. They're the ones that sign the contracts. I mean, I can remember North Adams 4 years ago. I went to the mayor and said, "You've got them. They breached the contract.
Right.
Get a settlement for around $20,000, $25,000. The people got nothing for it, and the rates continued to go up." I would have attempted to terminate that contract,
Yeah.
and you know, if I'd been mayor. But that mayor didn't want to go that way. So that's what happens. I mean, we've had, you know, Channel 4, WBZ
Yeah.
out of Boston. We've had that since way back in
Yeah,
I
I
guess
forget it.
the 60s, I think, 70s, and we kept it. But that took a fight too to keep
Oh,
that
I
from
remember
taking
that.
off.
I remember that very, very well.
And then the people in the North, Central Berkshire and Southern Berkshire, they don't get it.
No.
They didn't get that station
Oh,
at
and I
all.
used to love that. I used to love watching that channel.
Yeah, and elite, they cover the Patriots for in their glory days too.
Yeah,
Right?
yeah.
Now it's not so glory, but they but that's discombobulated too. So, but it you see, it falls to the local officials. That's maybe, you know, it's like a doctor or a nurse. They know too much when they get an illness. And I just knew too much about it, and because I experienced it. But you know, it is frustrating. Let me tell you something. You know, I've always been unfiltered, but I'm getting more unfiltered as I get older.
How about
Um,
me?
and, and oh, you're shot. There's no
Yeah,
doubt about
yeah, yeah,
it.
yeah. One of my wife say, if you say that, people are going to think you're crazy. I said, go to keep some at bay.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, and now I hear that the backup, you know, people who need money for heating oil and stuff, that's dry now. They're out of money.
Well, they're out of money because of a more difficult winter, and
Exactly,
this
yeah.
has happened before. But giving credit again to the legislature
Yeah.
is that they have always, you know, taken it from state resources and funded it. And I imagine we will be doing it again this year,
Oh, I hope so.
because we don't know what's going to happen in Washington. And I'll tell you right now, these decisions of whether you voted for him or not of the Trump administration, it's going to impact everybody. I don't
Everyone.
care if you're taking an airplane. I don't care if you got Medicare. I don't care if you get Medicaid, Social Security.
Yeah.
It's going to impact you. The problems we're having with the Head Start program in Berkshire County, loss of funding. Now it's
Yeah.
falling back to others. And where are they? Where they are going to get it? I don't know. But it's going to be a problem that has to going to have to be addressed because. You know, you go to the airport, you used to complain before about the
Yeah,
TSA.
yes, I.
You know, it's going to be worse now. And the thing of it is, I don't think Democrats, non-party people, or Republican,
Right.
everybody agrees there's fat in government. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's fat in municipal government, every
Yeah.
government. And when I had to cut it as a mayor, and you know, along with the city council, we had to make cuts, but we went about it in a rational way. We assessed it before we just went in there with a chainsaw. Because I'm telling you right now, cutting the National Health Institute, I
Yeah.
mean, cutting the, you know, the CDC and all these other health things of research that's going on, it's impacting colleges because they are big research, you know,
Yeah.
going on it, whether it's Alabama or it's Harvard or wherever. We're losing that
Yeah.
money, and it's in and that's what's saving lives. That's everybody says, boy, when you treat for cancer now, boy, they've come a long way. Yes, they have, but it
Yeah,
came because of
but that
research.
cost.
Yeah, and it
That's
does.
not free.
Yeah. And you know, our just infrastructure, thank God, is being addressed. And during the last administration, that, you know, rebuild America, whatever it was going. There's a lot of you're going to see a lot of construction, but it came from before. But now, just to arbitrarily cut is not the way to go. And I can see that we're going to find something. Yeah, you're going to find that some people are overpaid, and you don't need
Yeah.
staffing, and you can do it a better way. But you can't take away the guts of what they're intended to be. What's going to happen with the Pentagon? You're cutting experienced military colonels
Yeah.
and majors and whatever they are and, out there, it's just crazy to me. But if go in there, make the cuts that have to be made. But you know, when it's all said and done, it's not going to it'll amount at the most maybe 9 to 10%,
Yeah.
in which you know But that 9 to 10% is going to gut programs that really are needed that we
Yeah.
never thought about as American citizens. You know, we've had it pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, everybody complains about our health system and everything, but you know what? In the state of Massachusetts, we may not have mass health, and then a lot of people are on mass health here because
Oh, for
most of
sure.
that is fed is
Federal.
dependent upon Medicaid money coming in, and so if that money is not there, it's gonna cut a lot of people off of the health insurance. So like I said, every decision being made now is going to impact people
Yeah,
one way or
and
another.
I sit back. I sit back, and I'm sure there's bloat, but they laid off people from the VA, Veterans Administration, and I have to tell you, I mean, I go to Boston, I go to Northampton, and I come here to Pittsfield. Boy, I don't see any people sitting around playing cards on their computer. In the VA, and you know, I sit back and wait now, wait for them to start reassessing disabilities. I went through that in one of the, I think it was Obama. We had to go back. I had a disability for, I don't know, 30 years, and I had to go be reassessed. And there's a law saying if you've been I don't know if it's still in effect, but if you have been to a disability for over 10 years, then it was permanent. But they said no. And I went down, the doctor said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I got a letter to be here." And the Polish princess and I went down, and he said, "Your records go all the way back to Vietnam. You're fine." He signed it, and away I went. But you're right. They're taking a chainsaw, and my only thing, and I know I'll catch some heat for this, you will too, but who cares at this stage? You better have people in there that understand the workings of government also.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
Right?
yeah, I mean, a lot of them in their government to claim, oh, I've got a business background. They never ran a business in their life. They may be
Right.
investors, they may know, you
Right.
know, and know how to analyze finances and things like that. They know how to run a business. They've never
Right.
run one.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. And it's just like people that come in from business and go into government, they have a tough time adapting because you see, government doesn't exist to make money. It
No.
exists to provide services to the people it represents. You know, it's supposed to be a nonprofit organization, and they are supposed to take any monies left over and give them back to
Back.
the people. And I always did that as mayor. If there was a substantial amount of free cash or anything left, that's the people's money. You give it back and you
Yeah.
reduce it. I was criticized for one guy that was running against me one time, and he says, "Oh, you don't have a structured budget." I said, "I can have a structured budget. I can tax the people right to the hilt." But I
Right.
said, "But there's in the savings account, and we can give a chance to return it to the stockholders, which are the people who live in the city and the
Yeah.
property owners there and businesses. We should give it back to them, and then at another time when we need the money, we're going to have to hit them harder." But I don't know. It's just crazy. I'm disillusioned. How's that?
Yeah, well, no, I think you're bringing out excellent points that I hear people all, and listen, I don't want to pay any more taxes than I have to either. I mean, but you know, just an aside from the federal government, people are complaining about the roads and the streets, and well, I have to tell you, these plow drivers and sanders and all, they got to be exhausted. I mean, I've had my driveway plowed, and you know, the Polish princesses out there probably have spent $200 in salt this year, and she, but it's still an ice skating rink. This is an unusual winter, and we just bear that burden. I mean, we can't do anything about the weather.
No, you can't. I can remember when Mayor Roberto, after I left office, asked if I could come down and look at his public works department.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I can remember so well the first weekend I was there. I think there was a snowstorm over that weekend of 25 or 30 inches. But and it was a very snowy time. And walking into that, and that was 2010, I think, somewhere in there. And but we put a system in place that fixed it, got it done, you know, and made sure everything can be fixed. There's always a solution to the problem. Some can be more expensive than others, but there's always a solution. But you got to sit down and figure out what it's going to be and how it is. You can't tell me, and this is no insult to business executives or anything else going that might go into government. They don't know anything. Just like I was an elementary school teacher, I didn't know much about snow plowing and infrastructure work or anything else. But I learned from the people that were there. The
That's
one.
who I talked to.
The ones who knew. I didn't go talk to the superintendent. I went and talked to the guy that or gal that was on the plow. Now some of them were always complaints or this or that, but you know what? Out of it, they knew what had to be done,
That's right.
and they knew. And that's how you do it. You have to rely on those people that have been in the vineyards. And then as far as management goes, that's another thing too. But it's a crazy. But getting back to it's a crazy world we live in
But
now.
it is, and I think the one thing I think some folks are missing, and if and that is, there are going to be repercussions of all this going on in Washington. A lot of people here are cheering, "Oh, good, good," but there's going to be reverberations throughout the country, through whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, Veterans Administrations. A friend of mine said yesterday, he said, "Can you imagine they let all those people off from the IRS?" Well, they just hired them all. What? I don't know how many thousand they hired last. But government, I guess with you and I, we're of another era. Is that probably safe to say? Not, we're not old. We're just from a different era. And I go back and I understand I'm an old man, and but John Kennedy, when I was a kid, made us being this country believe there wasn't anything we couldn't do. And the one that I think I love this saying, I love a lot of this, but this one really today I think resonates in my brain, and trust me, there's not a lot resonating up there anymore. And that is, we are going to put a man on the moon by the end of this decade. Not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And I think today everybody's looking for the easy way.
Yeah, and they don't understand it. And what made John Kennedy such a great president in the very short time that he was in there was that he brought hope back to the country, but he also delivered on it. I have never, you know, everything from the Peace Corps to going on 50-mile hikes and trying to get the families involved in that. And he brought,
President's physical fitness.
yes, and he was. You know, vigor was his favorite word. We got to have vigor. And but it was just made everybody feel good. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. When they will look back in history, not just about John Kennedy, but Bill Clinton, who had every fault in the world, I guess we all have our baggages. He's going to go down as one of the great presidents
Absolutely.
because he knew how to bring people together. You know, he wasn't far
Exactly.
left, he wasn't far right, and he did it at a time when Congress actually shut the government down, and Newt Gingrich really caused a lot of changes in government. But you know what? During his time, it was a time of peace, it was a time of prosperity, and a lot of good things were happening. And he just had the ability
Yes.
to, he always had the great line that if you want to stay in politics, you have to have a short memory. And he knew he was getting belted by Newt Gingrich, and
Yeah.
they impeached him or tried to impeach him, and in the House they did, but he was never convicted of it. I mean, he had his problems, he had his
What?
issues, but I can tell you right now, he had a good feel for the country, and And that's what we need now more than anything. Someone who's going to bridge it together, and know
Yeah.
how to make deals. The art of the deal, let me tell you something. They ought to go back and read the book of Bill Clinton. He knew the art of the deal better than anybody. But he was also a governor, see, coming out of the
Yes.
state of Arkansas. He had experience in government, knowing
Yes.
to do that. He also brought the closed the divide with race in this country.
And he got people on welfare and a future,
And he
right?
was
You go to school, you can go to work, but you're not going to live on welfare. And he
and he
did
was
it humanely.
yeah and the funny part of it is what people don't realize, he was the last president that had a balanced budget.
Balanced budget.
We didn't have any debt. There was no debt back then. He wiped it out, and he did it in conjunction with the Republicans, who actually were controlling the House of
Right,
Representatives from
that's
the beginning.
exactly right.
And see, that's what we've got to get back to. But what they say about history, if you repeat them again,
Yeah.
you're doomed to failure.
Well, I think what he had too, thinking back, he had the public. Yeah, it's he. I think back. My mother and father die-in-the-wool Democrats, except for one person. They Sill Conti, but when they would talk about and my mother, I'll never forget, was so upset when that kerfuffle that he got himself into, because he really could have gone down if it wasn't for that. He'll still go down as one of the great ones. But he could have gone down as the greatest one, because what he was able to do was it was just amazing.
And on the Republican side, I didn't agree with a lot that Ronald Reagan said or his philosophy, but you know what? He was the right person at the right time. And what followed with George Bush Senior, I have come to have great respect and admiration for him, just reading about it and revisiting the time that I was mayor and he was in office. I think he was sincere. I think he did a lot of good things, but the economy went south on him, and with that went his presidency. But Bill Clinton leaves the White House with a 66% favorability. If you're in office now and you get over 49%, you're considered to be a success. That's how divided the country is. But a Southern president who came in, he brought the races together.
Yes.
It just was
It was a time of hope. It really was a time of hope and a time of belief, not only in yourself, but a belief in your country. And people think nuts, but that's already an established fact. But volunteering, I volunteered for Vietnam, and so I believed in what this man was, believed in. And was it right or wrong? I don't know. I went, I did what I thought was right at the time. But I don't think we've ever recovered from that assassination.
Oh no, I really don't either. And it was such a sad time. And then Bobby Kennedy shortly after, and Martin Luther King shortly after that. And it was just such a turbulent time, but we survived it. That's one thing about America. We always survive it. I mean, it was so sad last night to see our citizens booing the Canadian national anthem, and equally sad is seeing that the Canadians were booing ours. They are our closest ally, and now we don't have them as our friends. I mean, it's nothing to drive into Canada. We were back and forth. The Canadians come down to Florida, I guess, and spend their money all winter long. But now hard feelings that didn't have to be there.
No.
And they fought with you in Vietnam, and they
Yeah,
fought
yes, they did.
and around the world, and they were always there as our allies. Now, what's going to happen in Europe and that? And what people don't realize, and we always feared it, which is probably the Vietnam War's sad story, is that we always thought that the Russia and China mainly, with communism, and it was going to overtake the world. Now you fly back to Vietnam, we're friends and all this
Yeah.
other stuff. And I guess it proves how stupid war is.
Yeah.
But only those that have fought in it know how stupid it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got to take a break. We'll, when we come back, we'll pick this up. But we got to start really thinking before we talk. Not us, but people in office. We'll be right back. I am here today. I am so privileged to have with me Representative John Barrett. We've been friends for a long time. I have to just say this before we go to break. Representative Barrett fixed the manhole cover problem in Pittsfield. You can tell every street that was done when Barrett was here. They're fine. You can tell every street that wasn't done or was done before Barrett or after Barrett was here. They're awful. So there you go. This is at WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. And we're broadcasting on 88.1 down FM down in Southern Berkshire. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
You're hearing the stories of our countywide housing challenges all the time. Housing the Berkshires, a coalition of change, is a growing group of community stakeholders, municipal leaders, and friends just like you who want to create a positive impact on housing needs in the Berkshires. Join us in our commitment to making lasting changes in our housing landscape. We are good neighbors, creative innovators, committed partners, and determined navigators. To join us, visit BerkshireHousing.com today.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. That good-looking guy you see there, he has hair. It's wise hair. It's kind of blondish. His name is John Barrett. He represents Representative John Barrett. He represents Northern Berkshire, and he was the mayor of North Adams for the people. John, we have a lot of new people coming into the area, and that's good. It's healthy, I think, people moving in. And we also have the exodus. I every so often I read in the Boston Globe that. This exodus from Massachusetts. What's your take on that? Is it as drastic as you think? Is there making it?
No, I think the actual numbers show that the population in the state has gone up over the past year and a half, 2 years.
Out here,
a lot of reasons for that, but. Out in the Berkshires, we continue to struggle with population. Even when it comes to economic development, I think we're only the only county in the state that, and this has been this way for years, that has to import people in to fill the jobs that are open here. We can't fill them.
Right.
And there could be many reasons for that, but the cost of living is still much lower here than it is in the central and eastern part of the state. But
oh, yeah.
That being said, we still have to bring businesses out here. We have to have better transportation. Everything is by car. When the gas prices go up, we're negatively impacted because people don't have that public transportation that they have in the central and eastern part of the state, especially the eastern part of the state, where they just hop on the T at a very yeah. cheap price, much cheaper than when you have to hop a bus here in Berkshire County. So that causes problems. And that's why it's so important that we get the train system up and going here. That's a game changer as far as I can.
Oh, sure. I'm concerned.
You know, it may be a long day, but if it's only 4 days a week, you can hop on the train at 6 a.m, hopefully in Pittsfield or North Adams, and be at North Station or South Station yep. by 9 o'clock that morning. And then you get on the train at 5 and come back at night, and you're here by 8. Long day, but then you make it a four-day well, work week.
Yeah, and you know sense. Now, driving, you know, I have to drive in there to the VA hospital and Mass General. I mean, it's a trip.
It's really tough. And I'll tell you, when I'm there, I cringe when I see our session going to end at 5 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
I know we had a 3.5 to 4 hour drive home, yeah. which normally would be 2.5 hours
right.
you know, without traffic. But it's the longest ride in the state, and Route 2 is bad. And the Mass Pike is clogged up from Boston to Worcester.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important that we get trains in. I brought a group down from Williams College last week, and they sat there with the governor trying to convince her that, listen, continue the study with the Northern yeah. Tier so that because it's so important. And as I said to the governors over the years have had trouble trying to, how can they help Northern Berkshire? Because you can't build a new road in here.
Oh.
You know, we're way out. You can fix the broadband problem, which they are working on, but not fast enough as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But beyond that, there isn't a lot that would bring them out here to get businesses out here. But you got to go back to the way it was in the late 1800s, mid 1800s, yeah. when we had water power, the best water power around, and in places like North Adams and Pittsfield boomed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just because people were out there. The factories had to be located next to water sources, power yeah. sources. And that's why we do. So now something has to be done the same way in addressing it. And I said to the governor, this is your opportunity, you know, to bring out, well, the money. I says, listen, how much have you invested in throwing in that dark hole for the MBTA in Boston?
Oh.
You know, we keep hearing about we're going to improve it. We're going to improve it right now. And I've mentioned this many times on your show. A penny of the sales tax goes to the yep. MBTA every year and doesn't help us out here. And up to the tune of almost $1.5 billion a year, whoa. Just from that source alone. And that's just not fair. You got to have some equity in the state. And that's what we're talking about with train service, the equity, the transportation system, which is needed. And yes, it's going to take some money, but it's also going to pay dividends tenfold in the end.
You know, too, when you think back, my father, God rest his soul, when the turnpike was built, we all got in a car because we used to visit my cousins in Southie. And that was a long freaking ride before the turnpike, you know. But so we get on the turnpike, we're going down. I'll never forget, I'm in a back seat, and he says to my mother, yeah. You won't live to see the day that this road is free. And you know, that how many years ago is that? That was the pledge. That was the promise. It was going to be free. And another, I'm glad the delegation and you're doing that, because I can remember the big dig. Remember, all of a sudden, we all had to start paying for the big dig. By taking a turnpike, or helping to pay for it.
Yeah, and it's tough for the Berkshire delegation because we don't have the numbers up here,
right?
You know, but I'd always say to my colleagues, but we have the mouth,
right.
have a mouth just like everybody else, and if we use it positively and we can get some things done. I mean, you know, they, you know, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, Governor Deval Patrick wanted to increase the gas tax by 19 cents.
Yeah.
And if he didn't, he would have to increase the tolls on the pipe. On the pipe. And, you know, the delegation at that time fought hard.
Yeah.
And they kept it to 9 or 10 cents anyways, but it might have even been lower. But he said, well, if I don't do that, we're going to have increased the tolls. Well, that's a user tax. If you use it, you should pay for it.
Right.
You have to fight hard to get this stuff because they don't understand sometimes where we're located. Some of them never leave their district.
Believe me. I had cousins. We would, if we went there, we would go, the ratio is like 5 or 6 to 1. We'd go there 5 or 6 times and they'd come out here once.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. And I said, listen, I can talk about 60, 70, maybe more towns and what their needs are. And they said, well, how can you do that? I said, because I travel through them on my way to Boston, you know, and I see what's going on. I can tell you right now on Route 2, the worst ice area isn't the Mohawk Trail. It's going through Fitchburg, Leominster, and that part of Worcester County, you know, and that's where real icing problems, and that's where congestion is and things like that from the Concord Circle in. But, you know, I went to, I forgot who I went to, but I said, I can help you move speed cars quicker.
Yeah.
I said, put a trooper or somebody at every intersection from, you know, basically Concord into the city of Boston and just have them work in that, the stoplights that they get because people cut in front of others because there's no enforcement. So, and they can get away with it if they don't get in an accident, but it really messes up congestion and things like that. But, I don't know.
What do you think? You know, we've kind of touched on it in the first half hour for people that are tuning in. The big cuts that are happening in D.C. will resonate out here. We don't know to what extent yet, but the representative was saying, and this is really kind of bothers me about health care. You know, mass health helps a lot of people. You know, people say, well, but some of them abuse it. Well, listen, some of them abuse there are people who abuse everything. But the majority of the people that are on mass health, I think, pretty much toe the mark. And if we lose funding for that, what's going to happen?
It's going to impact everybody. If you get Social Security, if you get Medicaid, Medicare, any of those programs, it's going to have a negative impact, and it, especially mass health. It's going to really hurt our kids, because especially those kids that are struggling in this world that they've been brought into, not because they wanted to, but because of the actions of others. But they're brought into this earth. They will not get early child education. Then our seniors with the lunch programs and the kids in our schools, our most vulnerable citizens are going to be done. And then those that, you know, are very well to do. Oh, well, that won't impact me. All these cuts, cut more. That guy O'Leary was on there. Cut.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You want to fly in an airplane after what you've seen? And I don't care what the percentages are when they're cutting air controllers, TSA officials, which are going to make it possibly unsafe when you get on an airplane. It makes me nervous. I'm supposed to get on one in another month or so. I'm going to tell you something. It's making me very, it's one in trillion times of this and that.
Yeah, but if you're the trillion.
Yeah. And you've got less people checking the baggage and you've got less people watching the air flights coming in and things like that. If you got less weather people who are not going to be able to detect all this stuff. And then if you're suffering with some awful disease, whether it be cancer or multiple sclerosis or any disease, all those researchers and all that money is going to be cut off the universities and the CDC and the HIS. I can't think of it. The
Health and Human Services.
In fact, Silvio Conti was a big contributor to it, but it's our health organization, does all the testing. Dr. Fushi came from it. But you there's so many of them. I thought
it was the National Institute for Health, but maybe
not. Yeah, that's what it is. NIH. And what's happening in Texas today? Look at the outbreak of measles. And that's going on with there. I mean, you don't make this stuff up. And if you're anti-vaccine, you know, understand that. Okay, I'm not telling you what to do.
That's right.
Those who want those vaccines, you know, and want to protect themselves, should have a chance to get them. That's all. And
You and I are of a generation that we remember the measles.
Oh God, yes, chickenpox,
mumps.
Yeah, mumps, smallpox at some time point before that. But
there were the regular measles, and then there were the German measles. Do you remember those?
Yeah, the German measles.
Dark and all that. I had all the shades drawn. My mother was a nurse. Oh, geez. And we vaccinated our way out of that. I think some of what we're seeing with these outbreaks are some of the immigrants coming from other countries that haven't been vaccinated are bringing the diseases back.
I can remember a neighbor of mine dying of polio in 1955.
Yeah.
And God, it was shocking to me. He was a strong kid and everything. All of a sudden, boom, he's in an iron lung, and it was awful. And he passed away. I can remember his name and everything. And I think he's a little older than I was. He was 15 or 16 years old.
Wow.
I mean, and today we've just about eradicated that. There's good and there's bad with all these things, but
all of it. I hope we get people that can draw the balance.
You just give yourself the opportunity. And, you know, I started taking the flu shot in the last couple of years, you know, understanding that I very well may get the flu, even though I took the shot. But hopefully it's not going to be as bad.
That's right.
It's not going to be as bad. That's it. COVID. I took the COVID shot too, because I was fearful of it. But like anything else, but you know, the other alternative I didn't want to face just yet. Again, even though you take the shot, it may not stop you from getting it, but it's going to mellow it out a little bit.
And the thing too is, I think, and this is just my opinion, and of course everybody knows, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the guy wasting his money putting salt on the ice because it's not warm enough to melt. But when you stop and think about the vaccinations and the things like that, I think the damage done by some people with the COVID and the either over, I don't know it all, and I'm not a scientist, but I think that so warped a lot of people's view of a lot of good things. Because now it's coming out that, well, they knew from the get-go that it wouldn't prevent you from getting it. Well, that's not how I remember it. But you got to go back and start at zero again. What's good for, and this sounds very self-serving, but what's good for you and your family? If they say, listen, you got to, you, like somebody like me with my lung disease, you get pneumonia, you could die. So I get the pneumonia shot. Will it make my hair fall out? I don't care. I don't need hair. Well, now with a body like mine, who needs hair?
You're right there. I won't even argue that point. I agree. I mean, I went through a case last summer of double pneumonia and never really been sick.
Yeah.
And boy, guess what? That registered home with me rather quickly. And that you have to take care of yourself, but you take care of yourself in the best way that you see fit and hope it's
right.
And but those are things. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not pro-vaccine. No. But for me, I want to be vaccinated in all areas.
Well, I can remember as a kid at St. Charles School, the Polish princess and I were talking about the polio vaccine. Well, they make us line up the nuns. And we didn't know if we were getting vaccine or water. Tasted like water to me. But anyhow, and then they would come back and do it again. And Well, they tested that stuff, the salt vaccine, and it basically eradicated polio in the United States, eventually the world.
Yeah, it's but it's a choice that the people. But, you know, right now, or at least when I was in school and when I was even teaching, I think before the kid would enter the school system, there was 16, 17 shots.
Oh, yeah. And the vaccination. Remember the scar?
Yeah.
That was for smallpox, right?
I don't remember. All I know is I had to stand there and get them. And it got better with time because they could give them all at once, I think.
Yeah.
But there were 16 or 17 shots that goes in. And, you know, I think the best way to live in this world, if you're going to get your news off of the internet, fine. But balance by getting it off of regular news, too.
Absolutely.
You know, I watch all stations, whether it be Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Newsmax, just to hear what they're saying out there. And
I do too.
At least not be. I never want to become indoctrinated. And do it by keeping a balance. I think
that I do the same thing. I go from right to left, left to right, and back. And the only thing that I really take issue with is not school people, teachers, not telling parents everything about their kids and their coaching, like, you know, sex and all that stuff. That, to me, belongs in the home. I'm sorry, I'm old, and I understand that. But I just think we need to get back to education.
Well,
obviously we're 40.
What you just said is fine, but you have the right in this country right now to choose. A lot of cases, in other cases you don't. But even now with school systems, you can move kids around, and you know the parochial system or parochial schools, or whether it be a charter school or it be a regular school or a private school. And you can choice in just about it. You have those things. I don't want to see us ever lose that in this country.
No. I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying I think there should be parameters on what school administrators, teachers can talk to kiddos about without the parents' knowledge. I just heard somebody somewhere, I don't know, some state said that maybe Vermont or one of them, that they no longer have to inform parents if they're talking to their kids about stuff. Well, I think that's wrong.
I don't have children, and I'm not in that position, so I probably would pay more attention to it. But, you know, like I say, there are rules and regulations sometimes that just don't make any sense to me. I'm not one that really believes in not grading kids either.
Yeah.
I think kids should be graded. But there's also the other side, too, of what that opinion is. But I do think there has to be standards. And how do you reach those standards should be tested at some point in time.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, whether it's driving a car, you have to be tested. You know,
you and I know in the real world, you're tested every day.
Sure.
Really? And you know, the other piece of that is that if everybody gets an award, what's the sense of busting yourself to get an award? So, and I see that, you know, all the time. I think people now are starting to rethink a lot of this. And you know, I'm not promoting one thing or another, but when I worked with the violent youthful offenders, if some of them had the parents that John Barrett had and Bill Sturgeon had, I probably wouldn't have seen them. But I hearken back to this one kid who came to, I may have told you this before, but he was out in the yard, and I said, we had a point system. I said, how you doing with your points? He goes, well, I was doing okay, but I can't write home. And I literally thought he meant he couldn't write, because we had those. And I said, oh, I'll get somebody to help you write. He goes, oh, no, I can print. I can't do the curly stuff. Cursive. So I said, then what's the problem? He said, you have a rule that one inmate can't write to another inmate And my mother, father, and older brother are in the system. So there you are.
It's some things we can't figure out, but and we just try to do the best that we can with what we have. It's just so much. It's just a changing world. I mean, you have AI coming into it, and you have
which that scares
so
me.
Positive, but so scary. So,
I barely can master this thing here, the phone. So I mean, AI to me, you know. But I like the vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris saying AI. She told us what it stands for, artificial intelligence. So I know that's for sure. I have it, artificial intelligence. So there you go, John. As always, I so like our conversations, and I want to thank you personally for all that you do for the people, not only of Northern Berkshire, but the whole Commonwealth. Your votes in that, to me, we need more people that like you. And I think the new Smitty's replacement, I think she's going to be fine. I watched her Sean interview her. She's got her head screwed on right, I think.
Yeah, and you have to go into the legislature, of which I had trouble doing coming out of the mayor world, but understand that it takes time to learn the system, learn how it has to be done. Sometimes we have to do things that we sometimes don't want to do, but it's in the best interest of our district, and that should come number one with any representative that goes down there. My votes aren't in Boston. My votes are right up here in the district in the people that I represent. We can't always be successful, but we try as hard as we can. And you know, when you talk about plaques and awards, when I left the mayor's office, I had 143 plaques and proclamations, all this other thing. You know where they are? They're in the landfill. That's where they end up. Because in the end, the only thing that counts is what your record was going through life and whether you did what you intended to do, the best that you could do. And that's what it's all. I see people even down in different areas of the state, they trip over each other to make sure they can get an award or get this. Yeah. It don't mean anything, folks. The only thing that means anything at the end is your family and having them around you. There's nothing more important than that. And don't blow that. And I blew it a few times in my life. But it took me a while to realize it. But, you know, in the end, those plaques, I'll tell you, they make great kindling. But it's just they're not worth anything. So,
as I used to say, this one guy quickly, I got to go. This one guy, when I was at work, he was in the Army. He had all these things, these plaques and all these awards. And I used to say, oh, how's your dead general's wall doing? So, John, you're the best. I wish you a good winter, safe trip back and forth to Boston. And I also want to thank you for all that you do for all of us. Folks, God bless. And today, help somebody lift their burden. Don't be their burden. Smile. Help somebody smile. We're all in this together. And as me saying, the Irish mother used to say, nobody leaves this world unscathed. So God bless, John. Thank you for coming on. And I'm always here for you if you need anything. Bye, everybody. Have a great day. Stay warm. Bye.